Before we begin, let us take a moment to worship the Supreme One. The Sublime One, the Tathagata, by putting our hands together and chanting Namaskara three times, all together and with me. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. With the permission from the Noble Triple Gem and the Mahasangha, let's begin. Something that I was thinking about just yesterday, and I want to share my thoughts with all of you. Is that none of us are normal. None of us are normal. Anyone who has ever had the fortune of listening to the teachings of the Buddha, anyone who has ever been able to associate the Mahasangha, are not normal. Yesterday, I was able to talk with some of our practitioners from our retreat, and our organizer came up to me and showed me tons of photos and videos of these people who may have never have listened to a sermon before, go into the kitchen with our fellow Sila Shravikas. And as if they were part of the Sila Shravika team, did many meritorious activities. I mean, the organizer showed me a video of three, four of them crying. Why? Because they were peeling onions. Not just one, two onions, but because the monastery doesn't take one, two onions, do we? We have 20, 30 kilograms of onions. And without a shadow of a doubt, or without a second of a hesitation, they were helping. And the organizer was explaining how they also helped with the mellum and separating the stem from the leaf. And he'll explain to me how carefully they did it. They'll check every leaf, check every stem. They may not know the extent of what they're doing, but what they're doing is something very special. So yesterday I explained to them that the person or the caretaker who swept at the NASA station helped a man go to the moon. You just peeling an onion, or cutting a potato, or stirring the pot of sao, may seem like a very trivial, small thing. I mean, I just peeled an onion, you may think. But actually, what are you actually doing? You are giving. You're expending your energy to, and explain to them, although you peeled maybe one or two onions, you are able to feed how many people? Today is a Saturday. Saturday is when we have the least amount of people, right? No, this is when we have, you know, thousands of devotees, as well as, you know, our resident monks, Anagarikas, Anagarikas, Siddhashravikas, Shravikas, and every single person come together on Saturday. And they're able to help make that meal. And it's not any sort of meal, is it? Saturdays are a very special day for the monastery. Why is that? Saturday is the day we get to listen to Guru Hangul, where the monks, Anagarikas, Anagarikas, all come together. Siddhashravikas, Shravikas, Siddhuvasis, and, you know, devotees, and every single person comes together to listen to Guru Hangul. Now, if we were to take it in terms of probability, in the hall, or hall and outside, if we say around there's around 2,000 people, out of that 2,000, at least, let's say at the very least, one person understands. One person's able to understand. Let's say, now I'm not saying it's like that, probably there's more. But the lowest would be out of the 2,000, one person, right? Say that one person understands. That one person understands, and not only, you know, understands and is able to put it in their lives, able to uproot their suffering. You know, chipping away at their ignorance. All thanks to what? All thanks to the meal they had. So although you may think, oh, I just peeled an onion. Not just an onion. You have paved a path to what? For someone's nibbana. That's why I say, you know, anyone who has ever had the fortune of, you know, associating the Mahasangha are not normal people. We can't be normal people. And I actually want to explain this further. Because I think last Saturday, in Guruhan's sermon, Guruhan explained something which I believe every single person should know. And it's not the deep Dhamma concept. Guruhan explained about the merit bank or the karmic bank. And I found that very, very frightening. In the sense that because people don't know, they don't know, they are falling into many traps and blaming it on something completely different. So I really do want to start off by explaining this concept. And it's a beautiful concept, as well as a very scary concept too. So something that Guru Hanu said last Saturday was about this karmic bank. But before we talk about the karmic bank, I want to go through some basic knowledge. Because if you go through it, because without this basic knowledge, you can't really grasp the extent of this analogy. So the first thing that we have to understand is about the mind. Right? Every one of us, if you're able to hear, if you're able to see, smell, taste, touch, feel physical contact, or think, we can almost say for certain that a mind arose. And not just arose, but passed. So we can say that every single person here who can hear and see, right, has a mind. Where does the mind come from? Where does the mind come from? Do we have like a pipe? Are we all connected to a pipe or a wire which minds come through? Or, you know, do we have like a machine inside that creates minds? See, what we had to realize is minds are very special, not just minds. You know, we're talking about the nature of nature here. It's not just minds, but, you know, minds cannot be created. Because what is a mind? Mind, or as we like to say, minding energy. It's an energy. Energy cannot be created nor destroyed. It can only be what? Transferred. So, you know, the way we draw the model of the mind is like this. What does the mind look like? It looks like this, right? Because, you know, it's very, very, very easy. Because something that we always love doing is we like making or trying to put images with things. For example, when I say, you know, if we took a feeling, for example, the feeling of love, the mind likes putting images. So when I say love, what's the first image that comes to your head? For some of you, it'll be a heart. What color heart? A red heart. For some of you, maybe flowers. For some of you, maybe, you know, your mother, your father, you know, husband, a wife, children or whatnot. But there's an image that comes. So when I talk about the mind, what is the image of the mind? This. I remember, you know, before, you know, when I was very young, when someone talked about the mind, I used to think about the brain, saying the brain is the mind. So when they talked about the mind, I made the image of a brain. But what does the mind look like? The mind is formless, meaning it doesn't have a shape, doesn't have a color, doesn't have, you know, we can't see it. Because seeing itself has to include the what? To see, you have to have the what? The mind. So we say, we talk about, you know, the mind. This is the mind here. Now, where does the mind come from? The mind doesn't come from anywhere. Instead, when as Guru Ramdas very nicely puts it, when a karma from the karmic strand takes fruit, meaning when one of these karmas or this karmic energy from the karmic strand takes fruit, at the mind base, a mind arises. A mind arises. From where? Does it come from the mind base or from the karmic energy? Because remember, you know, the mind is a manifestation, meaning it's not that one thing causes the other. No, it's a bunch of causes. Or another way of saying it, a body of causes coming together to give rise to a mind. Not that a mind is created. A bunch of causes or a body of causes come together for a mind to manifest. Where did it come from? It doesn't come from anywhere. It doesn't go anywhere. It arises and passes. Now, this process is the same for you and I. This process is the same for any so-called mind. So, it is common amongst humans as well as animals, as well as deities, as well as pretas, yakus, you know, every single being that we ever think about, they all have the same process. What? A mind arises, a mind passes. As you grow older, does the process of the mind change? Does it now, you know, as you grow older, you know, when you go to your 80s and 90s, does the process of the mind look more like this? Does the process of the mind change as you grow older? Or as you are younger, you know, is it like very small? Do you see how, you know, our mind likes making these stories, you know, you know, small minds are very small, you know, babies have small minds. Whereas adults, we've got, you know, bigger minds. You know, elderly, right, they've got very frail minds. But minds are minds. There's no difference in a baby or an adult. You know, as long as there's a mind process is the same. The minding process is exactly the same. So where does the mind come from? The mind doesn't come from anywhere. Instead, the causes come together for the effect to manifest. Now, this is where we talk about the karmic bank. So when we talk about this karmic strand, I like to think about it as a... See, my drawing isn't always good. But this is the bank. Very nice bank. From a bank. A bank is where we do what? What do we do in a bank? Where we deposit what? Our money. Every day we go to work, we earn money and we put it in this bank. The more money we earn, the more we deposit in the bank. And what is the purpose of the bank? To store the money. So what? When you need it, you can take it out and use it. Now, here's the thing. Your merits, your good and bad karma is also what? Is almost as though, don't get me wrong, there is no bank in the universe where, you know, your karma is stored. No, it's a concept. It's almost as though it's stored in some sort of bank, your bank. All the good karma you do, all the bad karma you do is stored. And just like money, you know, you can't go to the bank and have infinite amount of money. It's limited. Just like that, your good and bad karma is what? Limited. Now, through our entire journey, or if you were to summarize our entire journey through samsara, what do you think we did more? Good or bad? Although today I'm talking to, you know, so-called, you know, people who have practiced the path and now are saint-like. Before understanding the Dhamma, were you as always a saint? Because even if I was to ask you, you know, within a day, within 24 hours, what do we do more of? Do we do lots of merits? Actually, you know, we don't. And anyway, if you think about it, it's so much easier to do bad karma than do merits, is it not? The best example is mosquitoes. You know, living in Sri Lanka, we're surrounded by mosquitoes. Especially when you're outside and, you know, you hear them buzzing with your ear. They say, you know, you can't fall asleep with a mosquito in the room. Because every time it buzzes by your ear, you feel very agitated. So what is the wholesome thing to do? What is the good or wholesome thing to do? You know, just to like sweep them away. Maybe set them outside slowly. Is it easy? Say, you know, when a mosquito comes by or a fly goes by, it's very easy to, you'll sweep it away. But the mosquito doesn't take the message. What does a mosquito do? It flies back. And then you keep on doing it, right? You know, I can't remember where it was, but somewhere in the monastery, one of our anagarikas was doing something. And all I can see is the anagarika doing every 2 seconds is what? Why? Because a bunch of mosquitoes are flying around and, you know, he doesn't want to get bitten. So, I'm not saying just him. That, you know, there's very many others who will do the same. What's easier? Doing this or... What's easier? I mean, how much easier is just to go... One time, that's it. No what? And that mosquito will never disturb you ever in its life. Right? Such a simple solution. But yet, what are you accumulating? Bad karma. Or else, you know, even very simple, you know. If there is something that I like and I want it, what do I have to do normally? I have to work hard for it, right? I mean, there's no such thing as a free meal. You have to work for it. Meaning that you have to spend your time, you know, spend your time and energy until you have the opportunity to take it. So, for example, if I want this pen, I have to work hard or at least ask someone, right? Get permission and, you know, even at the monastery, for example, if you want to get, you know, a piece of soap in the monastery, you know, we have to go and ask, you know, get permission. It's not easy. But isn't it easier just to do this? Look both ways, see there's no one, and just take it. That is so much easier, isn't it? You know, doing bad is so much easier than doing good. And you know, when a mind is vexed, what is the, you know, the mind always tries to find the easiest way out. When the mind is vexed, the mind always tries to find the easiest way out, which is what? Doing the 10 wholesome deeds, right? No, it'll do whatever it can. Because in this life we've been given so many good views, you know, there are certain limits. For example, I don't think any of you will, you know, when a problem occurs, resort to murder. But in a previous life, when you didn't have that view, then... So in this bank, you know, in our actual bank, we actually have more bad karma than good. We have a lot of bad karma than good. But that's not saying we don't have good karma. Of course we do. You know, in our past lives, we have done lots of good things. However, Guru Har Har explained, when you're born as a human, it's almost as though you take a magnet and you place it near your karmic strand. Doing what? Attracting all the good karma. Because for you to be alive as a human, what are you expending? Your good karma. Every moment of your life, just being alive itself, requires what? Good karma. Which means being alive, every moment that you're alive, every mind that arises is expending what? Your good karma. The bank is limited. Every moment you're alive, you're expending good karma. Right? Now, think about how almost lucky we are. See, from the moment we wake up to the moment we fall asleep, if you think about it, we expend a lot of good karma, do we not? For example, we wake up on a very comfortable bed, right? With a pillow, right? Right? Does anyone go sleep on grass? On the floor? No, we have a bed, a very comfortable bed with a comfortable pillow. Which means what? Comfortable bed, comfortable pillow, which means what? Expending good karma. Once you wake up, you know, one of the first things that we do is we go brush our teeth. You know, when we go brush our teeth, we have a toothbrush, have toothpaste. As well as, you know, we have to every morning pull a bucket out of the well. Right? Every morning you have to pull a bucket out of the well. No, we all have to do is turn on a tap and water just runs. Which is also expending what? Because think about it, you don't need to do as much work you know, back in the past, people had to, you know, pull. I remember when I was little, when we come to Sri Lanka, we had in my grandmother's home, we had a well. And it used to be my pleasure, right, to go to this well and put a bucket and pull it out. Because why? I did it once every year or once every 2 years. And imagine trying to pull that once every day. Oh no, sorry. Not once every day. Every time you require water, putting it down, putting a bucket in the well and pulling it out. The amount of energy you have to expend. So, you know, actually having running water is a privilege. Having running water is a privilege. Which requires what? Which requires what? Merits. Our every moment we are alive, we are depleting what? Our good merits. Our good karma. You know, that bank, the amount of money that we had in that bank is slowly depleting. Slowly is what? Comparatively is slowly. Is it slowly though? No, we're actually, every mind that goes by is depleting your whole good karma. If you think about it, right? To consume food. How many of you spend hours a day going hunting? Or gathering berries? Do we have to go with an arrow and bow to hunt for food? Or do you have to go with a basket looking for, you know, berries and going far and wide through forests? You know, being bitten by mosquitoes and, you know, scared of snakes, if snakes will come and bite you. Do you have to do any of that? Now you go through a basket. Through what? You have to go with a basket, but with what? Through an AC, an air-conditioned store with lots of light, clean paths. No, you don't need to pick. The berries are in boxes. All prepared for who? You. Also expending what? Also expending what? Your merits. See, you have to travel from A to B. Do you have to walk? Do you walk to A? Do you walk from place to place? No, if it's too far, what do? You either drive, or if you can't drive and you want to go from place to place, what do? You call an Uber or a Pick-Me or whatever you use, and you know, a car comes to you. You get in the car and the car gets driven to that place. And you know, which is expending what? Your merits. If you think about it, every single moment, and as even worse is, I mean, it's amazing. You know, our world is developing very quickly. We're advancing in many fields exponentially. And I was talking to some school children the other day, and something that I told them is, you know, your parents, when they had something to research, where did they have to go? You had to go all the way to the library. Take out books, you know, paper books. Read end to end. Read end to end. And then write down their report or whatever they have to do. Nowadays, what do you have to do? ChatGPT. Can you tell me, can you tell me about this? No. ChatGPT, can you write a report for me? And within seconds, a report is there. You change, you know, I get to talk to a lot of children. All they say is, all you do is you take the report, change a couple words, put it through a plagiarism checker, an AI checker. And if it's not okay, if it's okay, then, you know, you submit it and it's all okay. But back then, you know, even after we had the library, then we had, you know, books, but online. websites. Still, you had to read a website end to end. So even then, you're using what? As we develop, you know, as we advance as humans in so many different fields, at the end, we're using what? So you know, as we are advancing, we're using more and more merits. So, you know, as life becomes easier and easier, because that easiness comes from where? Merits. We are depleting the bank of merits that you have, your merits account. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when you go shopping and you buy something and you see your account is depleting, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? How can I gain? So what do? You start to save. You start to work harder, do OT, go overtime, to earn enough money to put more money in the bank so you know you're safe. So you know you can keep, you know, you can keep money so you can use it in the future. However, when it comes to the merit bank, we don't know how much merit we have, but we're expending it. As the number of merits deplete, what is remaining? As the number of merits or the good karma depletes, what is still there? The demerits or the bad karma that you've had, that you have. I think something that was very interesting was something that Guru Thera said was, what is the cause of cancer? You ask different people will say differently. You know, they'll say, you know, certain food is cancerous. Certain materials are cancerous. Smoking is cancerous. Drinking is cancerous. You know, exposure to UV light is cancerous. However, those aren't the causes of cancer. What are those? Those are the environment. What is the cause of cancer then? Your bad karma. Your demerits. If you have the karma, and if the environment is right, the vipaka will take fruit. The vipaka will take fruit. Because, you know, not everyone. So they say, you know, smoking kills. But in everyone's lives, we all know a person who smokes, but is not dead yet. Who smokes but doesn't have cancer yet. Not that they don't have cancer, is that the karma hasn't taken fruit yet. That's why Guru Han said it's very dangerous. As our merits deplete in the future, you know, you'll see the effect of our bad karma. Of bad karma. He says, you know, give it another couple years. And we'll have different sorts, you know, different events such as famines. You know, we'll have wars and whatnot. As a result of what? Our bad karma. He says that people might just drop dead. Why? Because their merits have depleted. Technically, global warming is what? In effect of what? Our bad karma. So ladies and gentlemen, you know, just like you think about money, think about your merits. Just like you think about money, think about your merits. You know, we are very fortunate to be able to think about this because, you know, only those people who knows. Only those who know about merits. If they don't, they're living, expending, using, taking, not earning. The bank is depleting day by day. They don't earn. So what is left is that bad karma. You know, I was talking to a sad individual, and you know, something that he said was that, you know, people are inherently people are inherently going to do bad. For example, if there was no law, if there was no rules, would people be as civilized as we are now? If we were to take it, if we would make a society, a new society where there's no rules, no laws, would people behave the same way they behave now? Unfortunately, no. Now the reason is because, not because of anything, but because when the merits have depleted, what is left is the bad karma. The bad karma will give rise to bad thought. Because for you to be able to give something, you must have. See, this is the irony here. To be able to do good karma, what do you need? To be able to do good karma, what do you need first? Merits. Good karma gives rise to what? Good karma. So this is why this feedback is very dangerous. This is why this feedback is very dangerous, because good, you need good karma to do good karma. Bad karma gives rise to what? Just bad karma. So this is why it's extremely dangerous. The more good karma that we have, the more ability that we have to do good. So don't let this, you know, don't let your bank deplete. Make sure you're earning a lot of merits. See, children these days don't know this. Lots of children these days have no idea about merits. They think, you know, I'm passing exams because of my hard work. You know, I'm getting all this because of my mom, my dad, you know, because I have all this. And parents don't understand this either. So what they do is they try to give their child a life of complete luxury. So whenever, you know, for example, back when you were younger, when you asked for food, right, you know, when you asked Amma or Tata for food, you know, they'll say, you know, Puta, can you help me make food? But nowadays, if you ask, if a child wants food, what do? Uber Eats, you will find a way to instantly order and get it, lacking any sort of merits. So for example, you know, when you're younger and you ask, you know, your parent for food, they'll ask you to help, which means you are doing merits there and then. That's why, you know, in the past, you know, Before we did exams, our parents would take us to a temple and make us worship the Buddha. Why? Because they understood what? That merits are needed for you to be successful or for something good to happen. So let's find ways to accumulate merits. But nowadays, parents don't know this. So what do? They give their child the absolute luxury. Whenever they go shopping, you know, they take the bag, you know, instead of the child, who is very capable of holding the bags, what do the parents do? Ane pute, you know, don't do that. I'll carry the bags. Taking away what? Taking away that child's merits. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, this is very dangerous. If you don't understand the concept of what you give is what you get, this is very dangerous. Because you need merits. For you to be alive, you need merits. For you to think, you need merits. For you to be able to listen to the Buddha's teachings, you need merits. Listening to sermons is one of the most, you can say, the most advantageous things. Because listening to sermons requires what? Merits. But the act of listening is also what? Is also meritorious. But let's say your merits give you the chance to go listen to Guru Tara's sermons. But you go there and you're not listening. you go there and you're, you know, instead you find that you're talking to the person next to you, or you'll find that you're very distracted. Now you're using merits. Don't forget, listening to the teachings of the Buddha, finding or understanding the truth to get yourself out of samsara is what? Depleting the most amount of merits. You know, that's why they say, you know, practicing the path is also what? One of the biggest merits that you can do is what? One of the biggest merits is practicing Arya Maitri or Noble Metta for the time it takes you to smell a flower is one of the greatest merits you can do. Now, practicing Arya Maitri doesn't mean, you know, sitting down, meditating, saying, Mambada Sila Loka Sila Satyo, right? May I and all beings in all worlds. That's not Arya Maitri. Arya Maitri is a feeling that you get where you understand. See, the people who can do Arya Maitri is the people who understand, is a mind that understands about minds. They're the only people who can actually send, you know, this compassion, this loving kindness to other minds. They realize that the mind is suffering. Or else if we don't understand that, then it's not our Maitri, it's just Maitri, meaning, you know, may my family be happy, may my people be happy, may my enemies, may they have a horrible life. That's not compassion, is it? So our Maitri is not about meditation. Our Maitri is a mindset. See, you can do so much with metta. You can talk with metta, can you not? Can't you walk with metta? Can't you help someone with metta? But more meritorious than practicing noble metta is practicing anicca, dukkha, anatta. For how long? For a lightning strike. For as long as lightning, you know, one lightning strike. You know, we've all been through storms, right? We've all seen lightning. How long does a lightning take to strike? Practicing anicca dukkha anatta for a is one of the biggest merits that you can possibly do. See, now I'm talking to, you know, people who live and breathe in the monastery. Living and breathing among such valuable people has its benefits and has its drawbacks. Drawbacks, why? Because you're surrounded by great people, meaning what? You're expending what? However, it's highly advantageous because of what reason? You're surrounded by what? Extraordinary people. Every action you do to help that person is multiplied thousandfold. Every thought you have for that other person, because they're not normal people, are they? They're not normal minds, are they? They're minds that understand the truth of the world, or trying to understand the truth of the world, who are practicing to escape from the shackles of samsara. They're not normal people. Like I said, you know, people around you are not normal people. These people are extraordinary. These people are absolutely extraordinary. That's why being amongst the Mahasangha, Mahasangha doesn't mean, again, just monks here. Mahasangha means what? Bhikkhu, bhikkhuni, upasaka, upasika. Bhikkhu, bhikkhuni, upasaka, upasaka. Or else, you know, actually, if you think about it, Mahasangha includes anyone who ever had the thought, what? Buddhang saranam gacchami. Meaning what? I take refuge in the Buddha. They are part of this Mahasangha. That's why they have their lives have changed to become what? They are changing their lives to, you know, they're honing into what one thing and one thing only. What? Nibbana. So they are extremely meritorious. That's why, you know, you are surrounded. So that's why being in the monastery has its benefits and drawbacks. Benefits, because you're surrounded by great people. Therefore, you can help, you know. That's why, you know, something that Amaradasa Nayakananda always says is what? Picking up a piece of rubbish off the floor. Trust me when I say this. Trust me when I say this. To this very day, whenever he goes by, whenever he walks down a path, and you know, our monks, Anagarikas, and even Anagarikas can, you know, can confirm this. If he ever sees a bit of paper, a bit of rubbish on the floor, he'll pick it up. He'll pick it up. He'll pick it up, and usually if I'm there, I'll be running behind him and asking for it, for him to put into the bin. But he'll pick it up. Because he says what? I am cleaning the place where the Mahasangha, where all of us come together to practice the path to attain Nibbana. So each and every one of us, like for example, you know, sometimes around the places we have construction. Construction places are very dangerous. So, you know, you have to go with shoes or whatnot. But sometimes outside construction zones, sometimes, you know, you can find nails on the floor. I mean, if you even go down this path, sometimes you find sharp objects. Or even you can find what? Like, you know, whenever you go down these paths, sometimes, you know, sometimes you step on a sharpish stone. Just remove that. You're cleaning the path. You're clearing the path for who? The Buddha and the Mahasangha. See, ladies and gentlemen, find ways to earn more merits. Find ways to earn this merits. Fill this bank. See, surrounded by such extraordinary people, you have the advantage. That's why, you know, why when I talk to the people at the retreat, the one thing I said is, you know, peeling one small onion isn't small. The merits you accumulate have no limits here. It's your intention that matters. So your merits are not limited to what you do. It's limited to your intention. Dependent on your intention. Does it limit how much merits you do? So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and to anyone who can hear this message, accumulate as much merits as you possibly can. Help one another to the absolute maximum. Something that my teacher told me a couple weeks back, and I want to give that to you as well. He said, at the end of your day, as you rest your head on your pillow, have a highlight. You know how, you know, when you watch a match, you have the highlights? Have the highlights of your day. Meaning, remember all the merits that you possibly have done throughout that day. From the smallest thing to the biggest. So if you're able to serve a spoon to the Mahasangha, remember that. If you're able to just to say a word to a person to make them feel better, have that highlight. And fall asleep with what? The highlights. running through your head? Because the next day you wake up with what? You wake up with those highlights. The next day you wake up thinking what? Today, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do more. So ladies and gentlemen, just like your money-wise, become merit-wise. You know how you're very careful with your money? Right? Become very careful with what? With the amount of merits that you accumulate. Unfortunately, you can't see how much merits you have left in your bank. But that's okay. Because all you have to do is what? Collect. Accumulate. Take. It's strange, isn't it? To take money, you have to give time. To take merits, you have to give what? Energy. To take money, you have to give time. To take merits, you have to give energy. That's why, you know, I think it's Mahatma Gandhi that said, you know, dissolve yourself in the service of others. From the moment you wake up till the moment you fall asleep, accumulate merits. See, even practicing the past is what? Meritorious. So, you know, make sure your day is filled with merits. Something that I tell our 18 minus Anagarikas is that, you know, their lives are dedicated to what? The sasana. Their lives are dedicated to the sasana. You know, they're at the monastery and, you know, they get food. They get shelter. They get clothes. They get everything given to them. For what reason? Because that's expending a lot of merit, is it not? If you think about it, as a monk, you know, I don't go to work. You know, I don't do a job. Everything's given to me, you know, which is expending my merits. But why? For what reason? So I can focus on what? Doing even more merits. By practicing the path and finally doing what? Because at the end of all this, because this merit bank will increase and decrease, will fluctuate. Until what moment? Until the moment you close your account. Until the moment you close your account. How do you close your account? By becoming an arahant. Arahant nuhanse or arahant mihin nuhanse. By attaining the supreme bliss of Nibbana, you close your account. Money's still there, money doesn't go in. And when the body no longer can facilitate the mind, the account is closed, their merits disperse back into its pure form. So like I said, anyone who can hear this message, everyone who can hear this, fuel your merit banks. Or don't. And you'll see the consequence. That's why Guru Nanak says, just wait another 4 more years. 4. He gives a number. 4. And you'll see the difference the world is going to make. So, you know, spread the message to the people you know. Help the, you know, tell them the value of doing merits. Or else they'll suffer the consequences as well. So coming along from the merit bank, I wanted to, or the karmic bank. You know, like I said, you know, when you become human, you're attracting your merits, leaving behind your demerits. Now, what we have to remember is, who is merits and who is demerits? So we're going from a 2D story to a 3D, right? 2D meaning convention to the absolute, to the truth. Whose merits are these? You know, something that a lot of people have asked me is that, well, you know, they say that there is no one, right? You know, there's jati, a sense of self, there is no me. However, whatever action I do comes back to me. That's not fair. Again, they say that there's no me, there's no I, it's just a sense of self. But whatever I do comes back to me. That's not fair. I remember I used to have the same question. I used to have this question, well, you know, currently I'm suffering because of bad karma that I've done in the past. But I didn't know. I mean, in the past life, was that me? No. I mean, that wasn't me. That might have been me, but not really me now. But I'm suffering because something I've done in the past. Or, you know, if I, you know, in the future, you know, if I'm born in the four great hells, I'm suffering because of something that I did in my past life. That's not fair. Because I wouldn't know. So when we talk about karma and vipaka, what we're talking about is this. We like to think about how the karma comes back to me. How the vipaka comes back to who? Me. Whatever I do comes back to me. But let's find out what's really happening. Let's find out what's really happening. Because this karmic energy doesn't belong to anyone. Who does energy belong to? Who does energy belong to? Light energy. Light energy belongs to who? So, the karma that we do comes back to me. The karma that I do comes back to me. Now, that is a story that Jati makes. That is a story that Jati makes. When I do something, it comes back to me. But what really happens? What really happens is what? The karmic energy, or this karmic energy in the strand, will take fruit. Will take fruit, and when it comes to the mind base, what happens? Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vinyana. Or we receive, register, recognize, respond, and perceive. Now, that is the process of the mind. The mind's process is to do what? To receive, register, recognize, respond, and perceive. However, on the mind base. Now, when I say the mind base, now don't think of the mind base to be something that is fixed. The mind base is, again, according to different causes. But on the mind base, according to ignorance and attachment, what happens? Ignorance, attachment. Ignorance, attachment gives rise to what? Jati. When jati is at play, what does it feel? It feels this sense of self, or it feels that something is different, that something is unique. When you focus on something, so if you focus on this, you say this is unique. But when you focus on here, what do you think? That this is unique. I'm unique. So jati will say that, well, I'm unique. And then you say, well, that thing happened to who? Happened to me. But then, see, when the mind arises and passes away, you know, energy will be expended. Energy is used, but this jati does something. or the process, or the defilement process does something. The defilement process is looking for this fixed, unique nature. So for example, let's come to our normal example, chocolate cake. Let's say you get to consume some very delicious chocolate cake. Right? You get to consume some very delicious chocolate cake. What is the next thought that you have? How can I get more? Not just how can I get more, but then, you know, let's say you only get a slice. Then you think what? Can I have the what? The recipe. The recipe to receive what? So I can make what? The chocolate cake again. So I remember once the monastery, we used to make, we still do, I don't know. We used to make banana cakes. And I remember we had some guests who came over. And as they left, the one thing they asked was what? Can we get the recipe for those banana cakes? Our recipe is written down in where? In the mind of the chef. So what did we do? We pushed the chef towards the people and said that this is the recipe. Trust me, every week it would be different. So we had no idea what we put inside them. So, you know, when jati arises, jati will find, well, wants the recipe. Recipe to do what? The recipe to remake it. Because when it comes to jati is such a pleasurable feeling. Because why? The mind is looking for something that is unique. Unfortunately, it cannot find it because this world, everything in this world is the same. Why is everything in this world the same? Well, everything here is made from what? I mean, if we took it through science, everything in this world is made from what? Protons, neutrons, electrons. Right. Thanks to Einstein, we know the what? Mass and energy are the same. So everything is made from what? Energy. Okay. Energy has different forms, but in its essence, energy is the same. Everything is made from this energy, but yet the mind is looking for something that's unique. Because the ignorance has this idea that there is something unique there. There is something different. There is something separate. So the mind searches for it. But unfortunately cannot find it. Until it comes to what? Until it comes to insanity mode, or in other words, abhisankara. Abhisankara creates this feeling that something is unique. Again, abhisankara creates a feeling. What is it that ignorance wants? A feeling. Ignorance doesn't want a feeling. Ignorance wants something that is separate. But abhisankara creates what? A feeling. A feeling that something, that a feeling. It's almost as though you're going to a shop to buy some rice. You're going to a shop to buy some rice. Right? Because, you know, we need rice to eat. So, you know. You go to the shop and you ask for rice. You go to the shopkeeper and the shopkeeper says, sorry, we've run out. So instead of rice, here, I have a picture of some rice. You take the picture home, thinking that you brought back what? I mean, technically, you bought back what? You go to the shop looking for rice. The shopkeeper says, we don't have rice, we have a picture of rice. You come back home holding what? Rice. Technically, yes, right? But is that what you're searching for? For example, you want rice because you're hungry. Can you eat that photo, that picture? The next time you go shopping, right, if it's something you're looking for is not there, just take a photo. You'll be happy then. You're taking back that, right? It's almost as though you are asking for rice, but the shopkeeper gives what? a picture. At that moment, you feel as though you got what I wanted. However, is it exactly what you wanted? You got a feeling. But that feeling is something that gave you pleasure. Because it gave you pleasure, what does the mind want? The mind wants to feel pleasure again. Wants to feel this feeling of, I have found it again. So what it do? It gets the recipe. It gets the instructions. And then, I'm going to call it stores instructions. Or in Pali, we call it bhava. And then it stores that energy again. Now, again, energy belongs to who? Energy doesn't belong to anyone, but the environment is what matters. Because remember, your karma can only take effect in the right environment. Again, karma can only take effect in the right environment. I mean, you know, the concept of karma in Park is actually very powerful. An example that I always give is that, you know, if there was, you know, let's say there's an earthquake. You know, when we have earthquakes, you know, you hear these miracle stories of how there was a massive earthquake, but, you know, a person, you know, was alive as though nothing has happened. So I remember back, very far back, when there used to be, and there was a devastating earthquake, if I remember correctly, in Haiti. And I remember reading a story long ago about, you know, they found a baby under some rubble who was unharmed, unscratched. Technically, the baby was just crying because, you know, it was hungry. But the baby looks very fed. Now, you can always say, well, whereas, you know, the parents and, you know, the family was all crushed, the baby wasn't. Why? Because the baby didn't have the vipaka. Or that mind did not have the vipaka to what? Feel physical pain at that moment. However, it also had the vipaka for what? Losing its parents and losing its family. So again, the karma only can take result at what moment? At the right environment. When the environment is right, or it's almost though, when the environment is there, can it attract the right karma? Again, when the environment is right, can it attract the karma? When I say the right karma, it's not saying that there's a right or wrong karma here. It's talking about when it's like this. When the environment is there, a karma would take fruit. Again, when the karma is there, the karma would, the vipaka energy would take fruit. And a mind would be formed. The question is, whose mind? Whose karma? Whose mind? Does karma and the mind have a belonging? Does it belong to anyone? If you think about it, every single mind that goes through this process, not this process, but this process here, is all the same. So if I was to say, you know, if I was to make a sound saying, you know, this process happens. That process is exactly the same for every mind here. Every mind here. But what makes us unique is what? What makes us unique is what? What makes us different is what? The defilement process. When the defilement process runs, now we have a difference here. A difference in almost temperament. A difference in temperament according to ignorance and attachment. That creates the environment for what? The next mind. For example, that's why, you know, that's why when you sometimes are angry, your anger seems to last for a long time. Or when you are sad, it's as though your sadness has lasted for a long time. That I've been sad for, you know, the past hour. That comes, or, you know, even better, for at least our, you know, our younger, the younger ones among us. So we feel stressed for a certain period of time, right? For example, when we come close to exams, we feel very stressed, right? We love stress, of course. Why do we feel as though stress has persisted? That stress was there for the last half an hour, for the last hour. Because in reality, stress isn't something that can last. Stress is something that's momentary, is it not? When a mind arises and the mind passes, you are stressed. Or the mind feels what? Stress. Thanks to this process. The next mind, and then that mind passes, meaning that mind is no longer there. But you feel that you've been stressed for the last half an hour, last hour. That is because, not because it's been there. Because one mind affects the other, affects the other, affects the other. One mind creates the environment for the next mind to arise, which creates the environment for the next mind to arise. But what we do is we find ways to change it. Or, according to our views, a way to change it will arise. For example, you know, when you feel really stressed, the next course of action will differ according to our views. For example, you know, remember when we used to be stressed, what do we normally do? Find ways to unstress ourselves. How? What? Falling asleep. You know, we like going to sleep. Or what? You know, distracting ourselves by watching a movie or listening to a song or watching a TV show, trying to distract ourselves. Or maybe, or not maybe, but, or in other words, trying to arise the mind with a different stimulus. Trying to arise the mind with a different stimulus, not the same stimulus. And that arising of the mind with a different stimulus, now you no longer feel what? At that moment, does not feel what? Stressed. Now that mind does not feel what? Stressed. Now that mind doesn't feel what? Angry. So you know when a person is angry, and there's a sudden sound. At that moment, is that person still angry? No, the person now perceives that sound, now registers that sound. And that mind can no longer be angry because anger isn't something that persists. Instead, anger, stress is something that's very mind. It's just a mind that arises, mind that passes. However, what the mind can do is has memory. What the mind can do is it has memory. Every mind that arises according to because of ignorance and attachment has jati. And jati likes to connect dots and says, you know, for the last 5 minds, I've been feeling stressed. For the last 50 minds, I've been feeling stressed. For the last 100 minds, I've been feeling stressed. But actually, that feeling of stress comes from what moment? From that singular mind. When you're remembering something in the past, are you actually remembering something of the past? Or are you remembering something of the past at this moment? So when I talk about yesterday, are you actually going to yesterday, or are you pulling a memory at this moment about yesterday? You are pulling a memory. But because of jati, you feel what? You feel what? I am remembering something that had happened yesterday. Or this is what has happened yesterday. You are now living in yesterday. But really, it's what? At this moment. You see, this mind process happens at this very moment. The mind process happens at this very moment. However, because of jati, you connect the dots and you say, you know, I've been stressed for half an hour. I've been angry for half an hour. You know, those of you who are, you know, doing exams, you know, I've been studying for half an hour. I've been studying for half an hour. I require a break. I require a break. Why? Because I've been studying for half an hour. But that mind hasn't been studying for half an hour. That mind's been studying for how long? For a singular mind. I've been doing physics for the last half an hour. Oh, no, physics. I hate physics. I can't do that. You all hate physics. But really, are you doing, really, are you stressed because of this right now or because you're connecting the dots? Because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to minds. There are no people here. You know, history is stored in your own mind. History is not stored in objects. This object doesn't have a history. History is stored in the mind. So when you feel stressed, you are feeling stressed not because of you feeling stressed, because of something. It's because your mind feels that I have been here for the last half an hour and I can't solve this one sum and therefore I'm going to fail my exams. But really what's happening? A mind arises, the mind passes. Done. The next mind arises, next mind passes. Done. If you can live in this moment, if you can start to live in this moment, your life is so much more free. Your life is so much more free. Because why? You are living at this moment. The mind arises, you're doing something. The mind passes, done. What is the potential of a mind? What is the maximum potential of the mind? What is the maximum potential of a mind? Where is the maximum your mind can go to? The maximum your mind can go, or a maximum a mind can go to, is Buddhahood. The maximum a mind can go to is what? Buddhahood. So what is a mind? What can a mind not do? But thanks to jati, you think what? Me. I can do this, I can't do that. I am this, I am that. But really, the mind has no limits. Limitless. That's why if you can live in this moment, you're able to live and breathe in this limitless nature. Because all you have is this very moment. That's all there is. See, right now, are you seeing me? Right now, you can all see me? Right now, can you all see me? No, you can't. A mind arises, a mind passes. You're seeing a mind. Right now, you're seeing this drawing, right, I have on the board, right? Can you all see? Okay, I'm going to draw an amazing drawing, okay? This is like the Mona Lisa sort of drawing. Are you seeing my drawing? Are you seeing my drawing? I mean, it's very good, isn't it? Right? Right? My drawing's very good, right? It's my drawing, right? What are you seeing? A mind arising, a mind passing. So, are you seeing my drawing or are you seeing a mind here? Are you hearing my voice or are you hearing a mind? See, my drawing. Look at my drawing. It's such a good drawing. I need you to confirm that. It's a good drawing, isn't it? Can you ever see my drawings? Can you ever see my drawings? What are you seeing? A mind arising, a mind passing. So technically, you're not seeing my drawing, because my drawing is what I see. I mean, the best way to say this is one. Every time I look at this board, I see in a certain, certain angle. Usually, when you look at it, usually the drawings are very stretched. Why? Because my drawing is what I can see. What are you seeing? My drawing. You're seeing a mind arise, a mind passing. When you're eating, can you eat? Well, so today, today's not dakineyo. So today we're going to have rice. I don't know the menu. Rice. Definitely we know the rice is there. We know there's going to be some sort of mellum there. Others, I don't know. When I say rice and mellum, are you going to eat rice and mellum? Rice and salad or whatnot? Can you eat rice and mellum? A mind arises and a mind passes. Can you read a book? Let's all read a book together. Can you read a book? What are you actually doing? You're reading what? You're doing what? A mind arising, a mind passing. Come to that understanding of a mind arising and a mind passing. So the beauty of this flower, what's this? Can you all see flowers? See, our decoration team came together all last night, put these amazing flowers in front of me. Very nice, isn't it? Very beautiful, isn't it? What are you seeing? You're seeing their hard work, right? Right? You are seeing a mind arising and a mind passing. Understand it like that. Because now you no longer have this need to see the flowers and see the beauty of flowers. You no longer need to see, because why? You realize that this is what? A mind. This is what? A mind. What's better, a mind seeing flowers or a mind seeing a pen? What's better? A mind is a mind is a mind. There's no difference in mind. Ow, I have a back pain. I'm seeing flowers. Which mind is better? Which one is better? The one seeing flowers or the one feeling back pain? The mind seeing flowers is so much better, isn't it? Back pain is so painful. A mind is a mind is a mind. A mind arises, the mind passes. Pain is also what? A mind arises, the mind passes. See the world as this. See the world as this. And you no longer have this great desire to go see the world, because what are you seeing? A mind arising and a mind passing. Let's all work very hard. I earn lots of money. Let's all go to the Bahamas. For what? For what? A mind to arise and a mind to pass away. Let's all go, and instead of going to the Bahamas, let's all come and sit down at the Dhamma Hall. Difference? Mind arises, mind passes. Which mind is better? The Bahamas are so much better, right? Right? Because, you know, it's a different place. It's so much better. You know, Dhamma Hall we go every single day. This is the same Dhamma Hall that I went yesterday. Right? Wrong. A mind arises, a mind passes. Ladies and gentlemen, or even better, minds. You are a mind. Understand who you are. Sorry. Understand what you are. A mind arising and a mind passing. Come to that understanding. Come to that understanding. See the world as it is. And the world becomes such a better place. Because what is the world? A mind rising and a mind passing. Right. Something that, before we conclude, something that I want you to keep in your head is about the karmic bank. The karma bank. You must have that in your head. Especially as all of you, you know, living and breathing in the monastery. Our karmic bank is depleting faster than ever. Our merit bank is depleting faster than ever. Because you think about it, right? Last night, people who have dedicated what? Their time to attain Nibbana, sacrifice their time to do what? To prepare a meal for all of you. All of this is there. According to who? According to what? According to your good karma. The monastery finds various ways to make your lives better. Using what? Your good vipaka. So earn as much merit as you possibly can. Do as much merit as you possibly can. Because if you do that, you're able to get more merits. Because, you know, I'll agree with anyone who says, you know, I'm not sure about how much merit I have in my bank. Like I said, when I heard that, I was scared. I was scared. Why? Because I don't know how much merits I have in that bank. So what should I do? Find ways to do as much merits as possible. That's my duty. That should be your duty too. Right. Can I stay a few moments to conclude our sermon by transferring merits? Let's take a moment to transfer the merits we've acquired by making offerings to the infinite virtues of the Noble Triple Gem, chanting Pirith, listening Dharma, and engaging in various meritorious deeds today. So first and foremost, let's remind ourselves how incredibly fortunate we are to be received with Buddhist teachings. And with immense gratitude, let's transfer the merits to Bhikshu Bhikkhunis, Upasakas, Upasakas, who since time immemorial have protected and preserved the sublime teaching of the Buddha and passed it down to a generation of the noble lineage in the form of the Tripitaka, which is thankfully available to us today to study, to understand, to comprehend Dhamma. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits that we all acquire to all the members of the Mahasangha present throughout the world, including all of the chief pillars of all chapters, who have dedicated their lives to the noble path and committed themselves to the benefit of all sentient beings. Let's not forget, among them will be the monks and nuns residing in local temples and nunneries who have always been by your side through thick and thin, come in and shine. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to Guru Sandansi, as well as other monks resident at the monastery, as well as the Anagarikas attached to the monastery. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits and special gratitude to those who made great efforts to spread the teaching of the Buddha, be there by transliterating sermons, sharing them with others, inviting others to join them. May by the power of the merits, if in them have been born in the woeful plains, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plain. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits required to our devotees, friends of the monastery, who for sake of merits continue to sustain the Mahasangha. This includes every one of you who have contributed to the construction of the monastery, to those of you who provide the Mahasangha with shelter, arms, roads, medicines, as well as those who pass in their know-hacks and their well wishes. May the power of these merits, may they abstain from our meritorious deeds. Fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to our mothers, fathers, husbands and wives, brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews and nieces, our elders, friends and acquaintances, employees, to all that have helped us, supported us, assisted us in any shape or form. By the power of these merits, may they be healed of any physical or mental ailments. May they overcome any obstacles in their spiritual progress. May they abstain from the unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer our merits to the devas, brahmins, spirits, demons, primarily the Sakadevas, demons, gods and deities, who have committed to protect and fulfill the Sambuddha Sasana. Let's not forget among them will be our garden deities, who keep a watchful eye over us and keep us out of harm's way. May the power of the merits, may they prosper in divine power and wisdom. May they abstain from meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to our ancestors who have predeceased us, to all that have been friends and family to us in this even long journey in samsara. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to all those who have helped us, supported us, assisted us in shape or form. As well as take a moment to transfer merits to the members of the armed forces as well as the police force who have sacrificed their lives to protect the peace and harmony of our nation. May all who have lost life in the war with the friend or foe rejoice in the merits required today. Let's also take a moment to transfer merits to all the members of the merits to all those lost lives in natural calamities such as tsunamis, earthquakes, landslides, pandemics, reminding ourselves among them will be those who have been friends and family to us in long journey samsara. May the power of the merits, if any of them be born in the woeful plains, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blessed plain. May by the power of the merits, may they abstain from the meritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and attain supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And finally, let's all resolve. May the power and the blessing of all the merits required throughout the day, we've been witness the event of many hundreds of thousands of Arhat Mahinwanses in this blessed land. And finally, may the power of all the merits acquired throughout the day, may you and I and everyone who made this program a success become an Arhatinwanse or Arhat Mahinwanse in the very life in the era of the Gautama Supreme Buddha itself. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. May the blessings of the Jipojam be with you all. The members of the Mahasangha will now transfer their blessings to you. Raga ginnin midetnva Dvesha ginnin midetnva Moha ginnin midetnva Nibbhana parama sukhain Sukhita taravit
निम्भान पारव सुखयन सुकित तारवित्वा ममद सियलु लोक सियलु सत्वयो निम्भान पारव सुखयन सुकित तारवित्वा निम्भान पारव सुखयन सुकित तारवित्वा निम्भान पारव सुखयन सुकित तारवित्वा राग घिनी निवेवा द्वेष घिनी निवेवा मोह घिनी निवेवा निवन सप लबेवा निवन सप लबेवा निवन सप लबेवा
तुन्वंगे सुस्यानंत महागुण बलिन सीलोक सिर सत्यो निम्भान प्राप्त सुखी सुखतर वित्तो